Numbers chapter 6. Title of the message today, Understanding and Applying the Blessing. This message I thought would go well with a baby dedication. Doesn't have to be just blessing children, though. It could be blessing anyone. Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 through 27. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, On this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. And may the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. A father and daughter were at an airport. They were saying their goodbyes. Her departure had been announced. The father said, I love you. I wish you enough. The daughter said, Daddy, our life together has been more than enough. Your love is all that I ever needed. I wish you enough too. They kissed and then she left. The father turned to the person who told this story and asked, Did you ever say goodbye to someone knowing it would be forever? Yes, I have, I replied. Forgive me for asking, but why is this a forever goodbye? I'm old and she lives much too far away. I have challenges ahead. The reality is the next trip she makes home will be for my funeral. When you were saying goodbye, I heard you say, I wish you enough. What does that mean? I'll share that answer that he gave with you in just a few moments. But I want to speak to you on the subject of understanding the blessing, or how to give the blessing to those around you, or how a father can bless his children. I'm going to try to explain it to you today, what the blessing is, why it is important, how you give it, who is to give it, to whom should you give it, when to give it, and what happens if you do not give the blessing. So the first point today is what the blessing is. I am amazed at how little times this subject is ever preached or taught about. This is only the second time that I've ever done it. And actually, Glenn Malcine spurred me to do this. He was talking to me one Wednesday and he said, You remember when you spoke on blessings? It's been 2 or 3 years ago. Since then, I hadn't checked the exact date. And I thought, you know, that was a good reminder for me. I don't bless like I used to. And some of that's okay. I used to bless my children every day. I go through a lot of work to try to come up with the right blessing. I don't do that every day, but I still look for key times in their life to be able to offer them a blessing. But this is a rare subject, but I think it's an important subject that we need to consider. 463 times in the Bible, the word bless or a form of the word bless is used. And if you remember, sometimes we talk about the law of first mention. And that is the first time a word occurs in the Bible, it is a key to understanding that subject throughout the rest of the Bible. And the first time the word bless is mentioned is in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 22. It says, And God blessed them. It's speaking about the animals. And God blessed the animals, saying, Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. The next time the word bless is used is in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. After creating Adam and Eve, says, And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So you will notice that the first thing God did with the man that he created was to bless him and the woman. God blessed them and said, Be fruitful and multiply. The blessing involved God speaking. It also involved multiplication and fruitfulness of life. We've all heard much about the prayer of Jabez, thanks to that little book that went around. If you look at the prayer of Jabez in 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 10, he is asking for a blessing. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. He's talking about multiplication. fruitfulness, that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. The main Greek word for bless means to speak well of. The first time that word is used is in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you." To curse is the opposite of to bless. That means to speak evil of. When we are cursed or reviled, we are to bless, or we are to speak good back. The second time this Greek word is used is in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 19. Jesus commanded the multitude to sit on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. Notice again that the blessing involved words. Jesus spoke. Notice also that the blessing involved multiplication that blessed many others. Mothers brought their children to Jesus. Mark chapter 10 and verse 16 says, "And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them." Here the blessing included a proper touch. In Genesis chapter 48, Jacob put his hand upon the heads of his grandsons and said these words in verse 16, "The angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named up on them, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth." So notice again, spoken words, a touch, and a blessing of multiplication and fruitfulness. Now let's look at our text again. In fact, let's say it together, beginning in verse 24. "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace." What is the blessing? Notice verse 27. "And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them." To bless is to speak good words to someone in the name of the Lord, while properly touching them, if possible or appropriate. In our opening story, the father was asked what he meant when he told his daughter, "I wish you enough." He began to smile. He said, "That is a wish that has been handed down for generations. My parents used to say it to everyone." He paused for a moment and looked up as trying to reply in detail. He smiled even more as he said, "When we said, we wish you well, or we wish you enough, we wanted the other person's life to be filled with just enough good things to sustain them." Then he turned toward me and spoke as if he was recalling from memory, "I wish you enough sun to keep your attitude bright. I wish you enough rain to appreciate the sun more. I wish you enough happiness to keep your spirit bright. I wish you enough pain so that the smallest joys in life appear bigger. I wish you enough gain to satisfy your wanting. I wish you enough loss to appreciate all that you possess. I wish you enough hellos to get you through the final goodbye." The man began to sob and walked away. Those were great blessings. It would have been even greater if he would have included God in those blessings somehow. What is the blessing? It is encouragement. It is acceptance. It is praise. But it is more than that. It is envisioning or seeing what God wants to do in a person's life. Praise is sincere appreciation for character qualities that a person is allowing God to develop in his or her life right here and now. A blessing may include praise, but goes beyond the present to encourage something special for the future. A blessing says God is going to do something wonderful with your life. A blessing says, "I'm excited about what God has planned for your life." Your life is going to be a fruitful life that blesses and touches many people. A father's blessing is the thing that makes a child feel special and realize that he or she has a wonderful future. A father's rejection is a horrible thing. In the story of Judges chapter 6 about Gideon, it's a story about a man who's filled with fear. Gideon is seen hiding. He is hiding while he is threshing wheat, so that the Midianites can't find him. He thinks of himself as not only poor, but as the least important person in his family. Not only that, but Gideon's father had an altar built to Baal, surrounded by a grove of trees where the men of the city would go to worship. The angel greeted Gideon with a blessing. A blessing that envisioned what God wanted to do with Gideon's life in the future. Judges chapter 6 and verse 12 records it. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Wait a minute, what was Gideon just doing? He was hiding. He was a fearful man. But the angel approached him and said, "Mighty man of valor." Verse 14 says, "And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" So here is a fearful nobody, and the angel says to him, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Go in thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites." You know, parents, far too often we underestimate the potential of our children. What was Gideon's might that the angel saw? It was the strength of the Lord combined with Gideon's awareness of his own weakness. Remember that 2 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 9 says that God's strength is made perfect in weakness. God is able to show himself strong when we realize our own weakness. And we rely then upon his strength. The angel's blessing came to pass. Gideon was blessed, tore down the altar to Baal that his father had set up. He chopped down the grove of trees. And then in place of that, he bravely built an altar to the Lord and used the wood from the trees to offer a burnt sacrifice. Later on, Gideon started out with an army of 32,000 men. God said, "Gideon, we have a problem." Gideon says, "What's that?" God says, "You have too many men. Get rid of some men. How would you like to go out to battle?" And God's telling you to get rid of some men. You have too many. God set it up for a great victory. Eventually, they get all the way down to 300 men. And Gideon led that little band of 300 men to defeat a Midianite army of 135,000 soldiers. Now, all of that was built upon the blessing that the Lord gave to Gideon. He was able to implant a vision of what God wanted to do with his life. And the result was this incredible victory. Do you realize today how powerful the blessing really is? Number two, why is the blessing important? Because of the extraordinary power of spoken words. The greatest fear or worry you have ever known may have come because of words. The greatest joy you have ever known and the greatest comfort you have ever received may also have come because of the power of words. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Death is initiated by cursing, saying negative words, saying negative things to people. Life is initiated by blessing, saying positive words. Life is in the power of the tongue, giving a blessing. A man gave the following testimony. He said, "When I was a boy, I tried to witness to a friend during a boat ride. The next week, my father heard about it and said to me, 'Billy, you are a real little soul winner.' I still remember the impact that made on my life. I felt unworthy of the title because I didn't lead the boy to Christ. But I remember thinking to myself, if I keep growing in the Lord, maybe someday I will be worthy of such a title. That man has become one of the greatest soul winners that has ever lived. In 1875, the great evangelist D.L. Moody was in London, England for a crusade. His singer was Ira Sankey. He traveled with Moody and came about that a group of gypsies were in a nearby forest. But they were not allowed to come to the meetings because of their reputations as being pickpockets. So when Moody heard that these gypsies were out in the forest, he decided that he would go out and preach to them. Ira Sankey went along. One of the greatest things to happen that day did not happen in the church service. It happened afterwards. It was not something that Moody did. It was something that Sankey did. And it was not a song either. It was not really even a message. It was a one-sentence blessing. A group of gypsy boys had gathered around the buggy that was ready to take Moody and Sankey back to London. Sankey looked over and saw a little gypsy boy next to the buggy. He put his hand upon the boy's head and he spoke these words, "The Lord make a preacher of you, my boy." What is the likelihood that a poor gypsy boy would become a nationally known evangelist? But that little gypsy boy became the great evangelist, Gypsy Smith. Before his death, Ira Sankey was amazed when Gypsy Smith came to him and asked if he remembered the time that he traveled with Moody to London and then going out into the forest and having a service among the gypsies. He asked him if he remembered putting his hands on the head of a little boy and saying, "The Lord make a preacher of you, my boy." Ira Sankey said, "Yes, I remember." Then Gypsy Smith said, "I am that boy." Words were so powerful that God would not allow Balaam to curse Israel. He was constrained by God to only bless Israel. In fact, Balaam should not have gone with Balak's men to curse Israel in the first place. You remember the story. God sent his angel with a drawn sword, and Balaam's donkey saw the angel and refused to go forward. Then he turned aside, banging Balaam's leg against the enclosed path. When Balaam kept pushing the donkey just sat right down on Balaam's leg. Balaam begins to yell at the donkey and scream at the donkey. The donkey looked up at him. This is a wild story, isn't it? The donkey looked up at him. God opened the donkey's mouth, and the donkey said, I'm paraphrasing, "Did I ever do this before? Haven't I always been a good donkey? Why are you hitting me?" And God opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel with the drawn sword. The donkey spared Balaam's life. The donkey had more sense than Balaam. The donkey knew that you don't curse God's people. The people God has made, you bless them. I've heard adults talking to their children. They were really cursing their children. I wonder if they would say those words if God sent an angel with a drawn sword to stand between them and their children. You don't curse your children. You bless them. What happens when you say to your child, "You're an idiot"? What happens when you say to a child, "You'll never amount to anything"? "Here, let me do that, stupid." What happens, on the other hand, when you say to your child, "God has something very special for your life"? Isn't it wonderful that God brought you into our home to be our child? "I'm proud of you. I love you. I believe your life is going to touch the lives of many people." Why should we bless others? Because death and life, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Number three, how do you give the blessing? You say it out loud in the name of the Lord. You say it with a touch when possible. You say it unconditionally. And sometimes it should be done publicly. There are blessings in the Bible that are unconditional. There are blessings that are conditional. The blessings of number six are blessings that are unconditional. It doesn't matter if those people deserved the blessing or not. Those children that Jesus blessed, they didn't do anything. Jesus just blessed them. When Paul wrote to the carnal church at Corinth, he began with 9 verses of blessing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." Then he goes on from there. The nation of Israel was nowhere near where they should have been with God in Numbers chapter 23, but Balaam had to bless because God commanded it. A beautiful picture of blessing is in Matthew chapter 3 at the baptism of Jesus. Matthew 3, 16 and 17, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him." Notice that heaven and earth were watching this public event. "And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him." There's the touch. "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The blessing was spoken out loud with a touch and was done publicly. Now let me ask you this. What sermon has Jesus preached yet? What miracle had Jesus performed yet? This was an unconditional blessing. What was God saying? In this century, we would say, God is saying, "That's my boy." God looked down from heaven. He saw Jesus. Jesus hadn't done anything yet, but God was proud of him. He said, "That's my boy. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Fathers, there are times that we ought to say, "That's my boy." We need to let our children know that we are proud of them. Just this week, I told my sons, "I'm proud of you." I told my daughter, "I'm proud of you." He didn't have to do anything. They don't have to do anything for me to be pleased with them because they're my children. I tell my kids I wouldn't trade them for anything. We ought to tell our daughters that God gave them to us. One of the ways that you can bless your children is to remind them of their meaning of their name. From time to time, just remind them of the meaning of their name. Another way you can bless someone is to paraphrase Scripture for them. I used to do that every day. That's the thing I don't do anymore, but I used to go through the Psalms and Proverbs and find a Scripture for each child, write it in a notebook, and pray with them every day over that and bless them. You don't have to do it all the time, but we need to be doing it on a regular basis, consistently, blessing our children. Number 4, who should give the blessing? Those instructed to bless the nation of Israel were Aaron and his sons, the priests. When you come to the New Testament, you find that you and I are a royal priesthood. Everyone who is saved is a priest who has a calling from God to be blessers. God bless you is something that should be said often by every Christian here today. Number 5, to whom should you give the blessing? You should bless the Lord. The phrase "bless the Lord" occurs 15 times in the Bible. Number 2, we should bless our nation, including the lost. This is a very important truth. One of the ways God uses to turn a nation and lost people to himself is by the blessing of God's people. Not every person in Israel was saved in number 6 when God told Aaron and his sons to bless the children of Israel. Part of the meaning of the word "bless" is you envisioning what God wants to do. Do we want this nation to be a follower of the Lord again? Then we ought to say, "God bless America." We have a vision for what God wants to do with America. Numbers 6, 25 through 26. "The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace." What happens when God makes his face to shine upon someone or lifts his countenance upon someone? The light of God's glory and presence of God exposes man's heart. Romans 2 and verse 4. "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." Do not hesitate to say, "God bless you," to your neighbors or lost friends. Genesis chapter 47 and verse 10, "And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh." Pharaoh was the heathen ruler of Egypt. But Jacob blessed him. You are to bless those who curse you. Number 3, Matthew 5:44, and I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you. Romans 12:14, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. 1 Peter 3:9, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing. Blessings defeat curses. Because blessings come from God, and God is more powerful than Satan. Bless in the name of the Lord, because when you do, you are putting the Lord's name on them. Number 4, bless your family members. Husbands, bless your wives. Wives, bless your husbands. Parents, bless your children. Children, bless your parents. There is no place where there is greater potential for conflict than in the home. But deliberate, thoughtful, daily blessings can halt angry words before they get started. How are you going to bless and curse at the same time? So if you choose to bless, much of the cursing will stop. Number 5, bless somebody whose father or mother didn't bless them so they don't have to go through life without the blessing. Nobody should have to go through life without a blessing. Number 6, when should you give the blessing? Psalm 34 and verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Any time is a good time to give a blessing, but key events in life are especially important times. Parents, your children want you to bless them. You have children that are hungering, that are longing for you to bless them. 4 times the Bible mentions somebody blessing someone before their death. The very last act Jesus did on this earth was to bless his disciples. Luke 24:50, and he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Number 7, what happens if the blessing isn't given? In Genesis chapter 27, Jacob stole Esau's blessing. He dressed like Esau, smelled like Esau, and he went in to his father Isaac. Isaac said, "Are you my son Esau?" There's a confusion here. Are you really my son? Jacob lied, deceived him, and he said, I am thy son. I am Esau, thy son. And Jacob blessed him. When Esau came in and found out what had happened, the Bible says that he cried an exceeding bitter cry. Bless me too. Bless me too, my father. The blessing was already given to Jacob. Then Esau hated Jacob and started to plot to kill his own brother. By the way, Jacob and Esau were 40 years old in that chapter. And Isaac was 137. Do you know you never get too old to receive the blessing? You never get too old to have your parents bless you. You hunger for that. You long for that. You desire it all your life. Number 1, children who don't receive the blessing from their parents never cease to hunger for it. One of the most heart-rending cries in all the world is the cry of a son or a daughter who says, I can't please my dad no matter how hard I try. Every child deserves to be blessed. And there is some blessing you can give to any child at any age or at any time. Parents, never withhold the blessing as a means of punishing your children. Your child shouldn't have to act like you or look like you in order to get your blessing. In Genesis 49, Jacob blessed every one of his sons. And he had sons who were deceitful, treacherous, and immoral. He blessed them all. There will be an emptiness in your child's heart unless they hear you say, well done to them. Number 2, when people don't get the blessing, they begin to look for it anywhere they can find it. I am not saying today, please understand, I am not saying that if you bless your children, they're going to turn out right and perfect. I'm not saying that at all. And I'm not saying that if you don't bless your children, they're going to go astray. Not necessarily. But I will say that there is far more potential in blessing than we realize. And we need to look for something, some area, some way, and we can bless that child. I've often wondered about Michael Jackson and why he looks the way that he looks. I mean, you can't tell if he's a boy or a girl. His face is white. Michael Jackson said in an interview, "I've had these face surgeries, the nose surgeries, the pigment lightened up in my face, and I'll tell you why. Because I don't want to look one thing like my father." The article went on to point out that his dad had always said to him, "You're going to turn out to be gay. You're not a bad boy, you're a girl." What's the problem with Michael Jackson today? One of his many problems, one of the problems is he never got a blessing. And many people who follow him and his music are people who are looking for somebody to bless them. And again, I'm not saying that the blessing is a guarantee that our children will turn out right, or that your child is struggling because you're not blessing. I'm not saying that at all. But it is better to bless than to curse. Jack Hiles pastored First Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana. One night when he was young, it was a watch night service, he received the call to preach. The next day was New Year's Day. His dad had left his family, but he went and found his dad on the streets. And he said to his dad, "Dad, I'm going to be a preacher." His dad yelled at him, cursed and swore, swung his fist, knocked Jack Hiles to the pavement. His dad walked away, but then turned around and came back, cursed and swore some more, kicked Jack Hiles while he was on the ground. And he said, "If you're going to be a preacher, then why don't you just go get the largest church in the world?" And he cursed and he swore some more, and he walked off. In 1970, Elmer Towns went to First Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana, and presented Jack Hiles with a plaque that said, "The largest Sunday school in the world." Jack Hiles took that plaque. He could barely wait to get off the platform. He ran into his office. He shut the door. He got down on his hands and knees like a little child. And he cried out, "I did it, Daddy. I did it. I've got the largest Sunday school in the world. I did it. I made it. I did what you told me to, Daddy." What's Jack Hiles doing? This big preacher in the heart of a child was still looking for his father's blessing. He was looking for a blessing that he never got. He was looking for a blessing that he would never get. Moms, dads, parents here today, your children are looking for that blessing. And there's nobody that can give it to them quite like you can. Please don't let your children go through life without ever receiving your blessing. Let them know that you are proud of them. Let them know that they are number one in your eyes. "You're my son. You're my daughter. That's my boy. That's my girl." Don't ever let your children live and die without the blessing that they need. God puts you in the position to give your son, give your daughter the blessing. You are all special to God. The greatest blessing any one of us could ever receive is the gift of eternal life. There is a Father that is here today that wants to bless you with salvation if you will let Him. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? Is there anybody here today that has not been blessed with eternal life? You have not said, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior." You have not done that before. So God has not had the opportunity to bless you as He wants to. He wants to bless you as your Heavenly Father with eternal life, that someday you will live forever in His presence. Is there anybody here, by a raised hand, you would say, "Pastor, that's me. I've not yet received Christ as my Savior. I want to do that today. I want the Lord to bless me with salvation, eternal life. Is there anybody? Moms, dads, I put a challenge before you, and that is look for a way within the next couple of days while this message is still fresh in your mind. Look for a way to bless each of your children. Make it unconditional. Follow the steps that I've given you as best that you can, but more than that, let it come from your heart. Find a way to bless them. And church, I'm calling us today also to be blessers. We are all priests of God. We need to bless each other. We need to bless one another. We need to implant vision for one another and invoke God's multiplication and fruitfulness upon each other. Life and death are in the power of your tongue. Bless and curse not. If you would be committed to blessing others as God allows you to, I wonder if you would just raise your hand in an act of commitment with mine. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, today we thank you for the blessing of salvation. Lord, as a father, I thank you for the blessing of my children. I thank you for all the children here today, whether they are young or old. May each of them know that there is a Father in heaven who desires to bless them. Even if they don't get it from an earthly father or mother, they can still have your blessing. I pray, Lord, that you would help us as parents to give the blessing, to apply it, apply this message to our lives. I pray, Lord, that also as a church, we would begin to bless each other more and more. God bless you would be words that continually come forth from our lips. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The hour is late. I'm not going to have us sing a song. I'll just let Gail play as you leave here today. So let's stand. Give you the opportunity to fellowship, to be a blessing to one another today. Lord, we just thank you for this service. We thank you for this time. We ask, Lord, that we would go in your presence and go with your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.